Well, I felt like the Lord wanted to talk about a couple different things, and they're tied in together. One of them is talking about agreements. Let me hear you say agreements. And the other one is covenant. Let me hear you say covenant. And there's this aspect of what happens in the agreements that we make, cedes or concedes the authority that God has given us to another to have influence inside of us. And so whether that's an idea, I come in agreement with an idea, now I've given it authority to, I've conceded my authority, I've opened up that to be able to influence my thoughts. If that's a person, I've opened up the door for them to influence me. Maybe that is a past history. So there can be good agreements we can make, but we can also make bad agreements. We can make agreements with situations, the stuff that's going on in our nation now. It'd be real easy to make an agreement with darkness rather than the agreement we have with our Heavenly Father of us to bring light. And so it's important to know the agreements that we make. And so as I was praying about this yesterday, I just felt like the Lord said, go to Matthew chapter 10. And I'm just going to read it to you real quick. You don't have to turn. It's out of the NIV version. And verse 38 through 41 says this, "And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me," let me hear you say, follow me. Remember, it's not a democracy. He didn't come up to the disciples and say, hey, can I join your club? He says, follow me. And then what did he do? He walked away. He didn't turn around to see if they were going to follow him. Like, it was like he didn't need them to follow him for his sake. He needed them to follow him for their sake and the sake of the world. Cindy read the verse this morning saying that creation itself was put underneath captivity. It was like the authority over creation because it was given to man in Genesis. And so whenever man fell, creation itself was subjected to a curse. With the idea of when man is redeemed, he can redeem creation. Okay? So there's the land itself cries out for you and me to become exactly who God's called us to be. And so there's this aspect of us, we have to follow him. So it says, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The best way to look at that is, if you're trying to seek after your vision for your life, you're going to lose it. It'll always be outside your grasp. It'll just like, it's like the carrot that's right before you, and you never quite get there. But when you decide to sacrifice your vision for the sake of his vision, your life, the life calling that you have, then you actually gain everything that you wanted, plus things you never dreamt were possible before. You'll step into new territories. You'll learn new things. You'll encounter new people. And so it's important to say, I'm not trying to find a vision for my life. I'm trying to find his vision for my life. And that goes into what Sylvia was talking about. Get into a battle plan. You go through the word. You're praying with him. What's my battle plan? The general at the table listening to the commander in chief saying, here's my battle plan for you specifically. As you find his battle plan, as you find his vision for your life, you're going to be able to run with it and you're going to find life. Look what it says in verse 40, though. It says, he who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. So in other words, whenever you're walking in your kingdom purposes and you go to pray with somebody or you share the gospel with somebody and they receive you in the name of Jesus, they're actually receiving Jesus as if he was standing right there in the flesh. And when they receive Jesus, they actually are receiving the Father. So there's this aspect of honor that is going to open up influence into your life because it's all about authority. Let me hear you say it's all about authority. It's about kingdom authority. Am I going to allow kingdom influence me? And when I say kingdom authority, do you know that there's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of Jesus? There's actually not even a kingdom of light. Did you know that? He doesn't need light or darkness to rule or reign. He existed before there was light. Okay? It says in the new heaven, new earth, is actually he shines and there's no shadows. Because he is light. Okay? So there's a kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of God. It's not even a kingdom light. The problem with being saying, well, there's a kingdom light and there's a kingdom of darkness, it's kind of like in the whole, is there good magic, is there bad magic? No, it's all not God. Okay? If it's not him, it's not good. Okay? It's always going to be insufficient. The knowledge of good is bad because it's never going to bring you life. It was the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve ate that killed them because it separated them from the God as the source of life. Do you hear what I'm saying? So honor, the way that you honor who God is. Let me finish this verse real quick. It says, anyone, verse 41, who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man because he's a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. In other words, the way that you honor or receive or you make an agreement with who that person is, the level that you receive them, is the level of what you're going to receive from them. They may have a higher capacity to pour into your life than you're actually receiving them for, and you're never going to be able to touch the capacity they actually have. How do I know this? There's people in my life, even though I have a calling and I go out there, they'll receive me just as a righteous man. Yeah, you're a good Christian. You're a good Christian brother. But I have no authority to speak into their life as an apostle or as a pastor because they're not receiving me in that way. And guess what's going to happen? I'm not going to try to get into their life and tell them how to go, even though I might have a word or I might see what's going on. The level that they're receiving, I have a higher capacity to give them than they're receiving me for. Okay? And so it's like, but I am going to give what I do have and what they can receive at that moment. And there's a growth process. In the same way, it says, if you think that God is goodness, does he really love me? Does he really like me? And I battle at this level. I think God only kind of tolerates me because he has to. I prayed that prayer that long time ago about the blood of Jesus. And I think I'm born again. I'm saved. But he has to tolerate me. Well, guess what? You're only going to be received from God because you're only honoring that level of what God has done in your life. And so you're going to tap out. You're going to go to a ceiling and you're never going to be able to break through. And let me tell you this, you're going to find frustration in it because you're always trying to break through a ceiling. Why can't I find joy? What can I find happiness? Why can't I get over this sin issue? Whatever it is, it's because you're only honoring what Jesus did to a certain extent. But when I come to this place, and in Romans it says specifically, you confess that Jesus is what? Lord. It didn't say confess him as Savior. Is he Savior? Yes. But his salvation through the lordship of Jesus, let me say it this way, salvation is made complete through the lordship of Jesus. You can enter into salvation because you receive him as Savior, but you don't receive him as Lord. And so you're going to tap out as he just forgives me for the bad things I do, but I can never think about how great of the plans he has for my life. I can never go do something great for him because I'm only supposed to be saved. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I keep hitting that ceiling. Instead of like, no, I'm so much more. So when I begin to receive him, honor him as Lord of my life, I begin to have a fear for who he is, a reverent awe for who he is. Now I've opened up the capacity that is available in heaven for heaven to actually invade earth. We pray all the time, heaven invade earth, heaven invade earth. Let's go to the beginning part of that prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus begins like, there ain't nobody bigger than you, Daddy. I know who I am. I'm yours. Your kingdom come. Your will be done now in the earth. But it has to begin with this place of honor for who he is. So I want to challenge you. If you've come into this place where you've made an agreement with a poor theology that says that you can only tap out here, you can only cap out on the amount that you can get or the amount you can grow because you're just a sinner by grace, I'm going to tell you, it's time to break that agreement and begin to agree with the fact that he is Lord and he's capable of doing anything he wants and he chose you. It was by his will that he predestined, he foreknew those who would accept him. But it means he already knew you. He says, I knew you before I knit you in your mother's womb. For the plans I have for your plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Even the Romans 8:28, that he works all things out for good. And it says, according to his purposes. Whose purposes? The Lord. But if you receive Jesus just as a Savior, here's what you're going to do. The purposes are only going to work out for you. Baseline of sin management. It's never going to move you into a place of prosperity in the soul. It's never going to move you to a place of sonship. It's never going to move you into a place where you actually have influence in the world. You're always going to be less than. You're going to be an orphan. Because I'm going to say this, even though you might be called to be a son, all those who have received Jesus, he calls them sons and daughters. But if you don't receive that truth and you say, but now I'm really just a sinner saved by grace, you're actually still an orphan on the way you operate, and you eat the fruit of it. See, agreement, whatever I agree with, whatever I receive, at the level you receive the truth about who he is, the way you honor that, just like he says, if you receive a prophet, because he's a prophet. In other words, you recognize the capacity that's on the prophet's life. Because you see that, you receive him on that, you honor that level of it, you can receive the capacity of what is carried in the prophet's life. But he says, if you only treat him like a righteous man, you've just capped out. You're not going to get a prophet's reward. Right? This is not money either, by the way. You hear what I'm saying? Like, there's influence, there's favor, there's transformation that takes place as we engage in relationship. You cap yourself out. So I felt like the Lord said this is, you need to examine in your heart, is there some areas of agreement I've made that are less than who God is? Do I have some belief systems? We talk about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently afterwards. And so we have to understand that agreements, they're the battle for the heart, is won or lost by the agreements that we make. The battle for your heart, for how your life is going to come out. It says, guard your heart above all else, for out of it flows the issues of your life, the concerns of your life. It says, guard your heart above all else. Why? Because in the battlefield for the heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, the agreements you make, that's where it's going to be won or lost. Like, we can say that Jesus paid it all and it's finished. He paid the penalty. But while you're here still on earth, you get to make a decision at the level that you're going to experience the redeemed life. And sometimes what happens is we go, God, why are you not answering my prayer? What's going on with this? Well, how are you receiving him? Do you think he's just a righteous dude? If Jesus is just another good teacher among many, you've capped yourself out. What's possible? He's not. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. So where are you placing your faith and your best trust? Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. The enemy's version of faith is fear. When we fear, we are placing our faith or making an agreement in the wrong kingdom. So both God and Satan desire for you to agree with them. Is that a fair statement? I know this may not be earth-shattering revelation, but sometimes the simplicity we forget and we get into the complicated and we lose our battles because we're not staying in the foundations. Right? We get into the ethereal and stuff like this, and does he really, and this, and this, and this, and this, and what am I doing? I'm so confused. God wants you to agree with him. Satan hates you, but he wants you to agree with him so you can never receive what God has for you. That's plain and simple what truth is. That's what we're looking at this morning. So the devil, though, has no authority other than what you give him through your agreement. Jesus said, I've been given all authority, both heaven and earth. How did the devil get the keys to the earth and the life and death? Because remember, when Jesus, after he died, he went to Hades, he went to hell, he takes the keys back, okay? How did the devil get the keys in the first place? Did God in the beginning give the keys to Satan? No. Satan got kicked out of heaven, and he gets thrown onto this planet because he wanted to be like God. And what does God do? He says, I'm going to make a person, a being in my image, exactly what you wanted to be, but because you were haughty and stuff like that, I'm going to make one in my image and I'm going to give them the keys to the kingdom. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? Now, if I told you those were keys to the Maserati, Ferrari, something like that, there would be a fight probably for it. And I said, whoever gets to it first can have it. And I'm going to tell you, more than likely, the strongest person in here is going to be able to take the keys from the weakest. So what happened with Satan? When humanity lost their connection with God, the next most powerful being on the planet took the keys. So do you realize, though, that when Jesus says, now I've got the keys back, you're made in my image, you're born again, you're brand new, the old is past, the new has come, you need to change the things that you're agreeing with. And here's what happens. He says, now I've given you, and Jesus said it in the gospel, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. The ones that Adam and Eve lost, I give back to you. And here's what happens. When you make an agreement with the enemy, you temporarily hand them your keys. Because you're ceding or conceding authority of your life by what you agree with. Okay? That's why at the same time, when we begin to make agreements with the truth of God, the truth of who he is, we come into scripture, we memorize scripture, we bury it deep in our hearts. So when we go through a trial and there's just that scripture that comes bubbling out of your spirit, that comes bubbling out of your heart, and say, but this is true. Well, there's this darkness thing happening right now. Yeah, I know there's a circumstance, but I'm not handing my keys over to that. Why would I hand my keys over to that? Steal, kill, and destroy? No, I'm not giving you my keys and I don't have to. What am I going to do? The truth of God says this. What did Jesus do? He's in the desert. It's been 40 days. He hasn't eaten. And it says, and he was with the wild beasts of the field. Let me say this. It wasn't just the devil at the very last day that was tempting Jesus. The beasts of the field are actually a type and shadow for the demonic. So during that whole 40 days, because remember it says he was tempted in every way we are tempted. Hello, who's the tempter? The devil, the demons. So during that 40 days, what's happening? Man, he's just getting bombarded by the beasts of the field. But we get a snapshot of what happens when the chief demon comes out. And what does he do? He actually throws scripture at the word of God. Like the word became flesh and he tries to throw scripture at him. What does Jesus do? But the word says, it is written. He doesn't argue with them. He doesn't try to debate hermeneutics. He doesn't try to, well, in the Hebrew it's this, but in Aramaic it's this, and then later on the Greek, there'll be all this stuff. No, Jesus says, it's written. Shut up. End of story. Why? Because he knew, he's demonstrating how it is to agree with the word of God in our life. That's why the word of God is so important. We are a Bible-believing church. We are a faith, spirit-led church that believes the Bible is powerful, and you need it. You need to read it, not because you have to, because it's a religious rule, but you have to because you need it for life. You're not going to know any of the prophetic stuff that just happened if you don't know this. You have nothing to ground yourself in. So I'm going to say this. We as a leadership team are meeting and we're having conversations of coming into the fall where we're going to put out some essential classes, some Bible 101, some prayer 101, stuff like that, so we can take some of the discipleship so people can say, hey, I want to be grounded more. We're going to be doing that in the fall because we take it serious. And see, here's the thing. We don't have to stop prophesying in order to do the basics. I'm just going to tell you, I've had conversations even recently where it's like, well, where's the foundation? Well, we prophesy and we teach the Bible. Well, but all I hear is prophecy, but we're teaching the Bible. Like prophecy is in the Bible, by the way, I'm just saying this. But you hear what I'm saying. You don't have to sacrifice one for the sake of other. What did it say in Corinthians? Do all things. Let me hear you say all things. In decency and order. What's decency and order mean? In the level of your maturity, of how you're growing in your relationship, your understanding, you're going to get stronger and stronger. You're going to move from milk to steak. Praise God. And that's not a statement against veganism. I think, man, hear me give you a verse for veganism. Because I always get to this place and I feel like I just judgmental and I don't want to be judgmental. It says, if somebody else considers eating something wrong, don't condemn them. And the hardest part of that verse says, and I'm just going to give you my translation of it. It says, don't bring your steak out in front of them and go, ha, 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 ha. Because in it, you might make them stumble. Right? Here's the point. We grow in our faith, like day by day, encounter, but it's going to come by the agreements that we make. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. It says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree, let me hear you say agree, on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the middle of them. Agreement. When you come in agreement with God's truth, it releases something from heaven. There's something powerful about our prayer life. I don't understand why he is tethered himself, his activity on the earth to us. But I don't have to understand it. He's king and he made that decision. So I'm going to stop trying to figure out why he would use little old me and I'm just going to be used. I'm going to enjoy the life that he's given me. It'd be like the same thing. Why would he give away a Maserati? I don't care. I'm going to drive it. If he changes his mind later, so be it. But I'm going to enjoy it while I got the keys to it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay, maybe it's a big old four-door truck. Would that help somebody? If it to you is a Tesla, what is the vehicle? What is the vision? How has he designed you? How has he created you? And what agreements are you making with? What keys do you have in your pocket that you're refusing to put in the ignition switch because you've made an agreement saying, this is not mine, or it's not capable, or I can't do it? You need to transition the way you think. And here's why this is so important, because you were called to covenant. Let me hear you say covenant. And I've got 6 minutes to tell you about covenant. Let's go. That's why God says, let your yes mean yes, your no mean no. We must guard our hearts from anything that would take the place of God in our hearts. Look what it says in 1 John 5:21. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Agreement. So don't agree with anything that he hasn't agreed to give you. That was better than, one person got it. That was better than you realize. Don't agree with anything that he didn't agree to already give you. If he didn't agree to give it to you, don't agree with it. If it's not from him, it's not good, okay? So the power of covenant. See, here's the thing. The covenant, and I'll give you the best common sense definition, a prearranged set of conditions for the purpose of creating and maintaining a successful relationship. A prearranged set of conditions for the purpose of creating and maintaining a successful relationship. Why did God not deal with a contract? Why did he deal with a covenant? Okay, let me give you the definition of what, even looking what a contract is. A contract protects your rights and limits your responsibilities. Is that a fair definition? A contract protects your rights and limits your responsibilities. But a covenant gives away your rights and picks up responsibilities. How do I know this? The old covenant. God said, if we're going to break this old covenant, one of us has got to die. So what did Jesus do on the cross? He fulfilled the terms of the old covenant because the old covenant was insufficient for the level of relationship that he wanted with you and me. So he fulfilled the terms of it and he established a new covenant, right? So that we can walk in a higher level of relationship with him. It wasn't a contract. A contract can be broken. A contract can be bought out. Like, especially, like, it's interesting, like in the NBA, it's guaranteed contracts. In the MLB, Major League Baseball, it's guaranteed. NFL, it's not guaranteed contracts. So you hear somebody say, they signed 5 years, $60 million. And the always question is like, but how much guarantee? Well, they were given $25 million. Okay, so that's how much they're guaranteed. There's a lot of, so it can be meant to be broken by both parties. But a covenant says, I'm in this with you for the benefit of our relationship. It's mutual. I'm laying down my rights for the sake of responsibility. What's my responsibility? My responsibility is to walk in relationship, to walk in covenant, to hear your heart, to take care of your heart, to lay my life down for the sake of yours. And here's the thing. Humans, sometimes we have a hard time with covenant because we have such a bad example of that. We have so many examples of humans hurting, abusing, violating, all kinds of different stuff. They don't buy, I mean, you just look at the divorce rate, things like that. It's like we have examples of this. And so then we take our human examples and we try to place them on top of the kingdom of God. The covenant of God is have to be understood by the kingdom of God, not by the kingdom of man. And so he comes into this and God says, I laid my life down for you so I could purchase you. He laid down his rights and his response. When Jesus came, it says he laid down his divinity. The rights he has. He was still 100% God, but he laid down the rights he had to even call angels down from heaven. Why? So he could purchase us back for the sake of us. He picked up the responsibility. What was the responsibility? It was our responsibility to die for our sin. And he says, I'm going to take that on so you don't have to die. But you're going to have to die because you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to die to yourself in this relationship so we can be one. So covenant must be understood. The reason we make agreements is because we're called into covenant. Jesus laid down his rights as God, assumed the responsibilities of humans. Let me read out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, you must have the same attitude. Let me say the same attitude. When you hear attitude, you're talking about mindset. Okay? Determination. He made agreements. Your attitude is determined by the agreements you make. Okay? If I make an agreement with darkness, my attitude is probably going to stink. If I'm making an attitude with poverty, probably the fruit of it is my attitude is going to be, I can never have any of that stuff. I'm never going to have access to it. I'm always going to be less than because of the agreement I make with my attitude. So what it says is, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience. Let me hear you say in obedience. So in covenant, it's interesting, in our covenant with him, he's king, and we have access to his resources and his authority. But in this relationship, he does not lose his kingship. Okay? This is not a co-equal partnership. I'm his child, and he's still king, and so it means I have to obey him in order to be able to get the flowing of the blessings and inheritance. And here's why. It's not because he's trying to withhold blessings from you. You've probably heard this before. He's not keeping them from you just because he didn't like you. He's keeping them from you so that at a better time when you can handle them, he can give them to you. Because if he gave you all that he has planned for you now, your life would be crushed. How do I know that? Look at the people who've won the lottery and examine their life at least a year to 2 years later. And the majority that I've read stories-wise, they're in the same position or worse than they were before they won the lottery. Because they could not handle it because their attitude, their mindset was not prepared to handle wealth. So God's a good steward and he's a good daddy. And so he's not going to give you more than you can handle in that moment. Sometimes we go, I'm going through this trial and he says he'll never give me more than I can handle. Yeah, but he's going to give you exactly what you can handle in the moment because he has more for you. And so instead of, I just got to endure this trial. No, it says for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. Man, he must be growing something big inside of me. Come on, what else you got for me? You're my strength. There's a song that was sang yesterday at the men's deal, and it says, I don't have to be strong because you're my strength. It says, I don't have to hold on because you never let me go. It's just so good. It's so freeing into the middle of this thing. It's in a relationship. So say, have the same attitude. Says he humbled himself in obedience to God, died a criminal's death on a cross. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the second part of this message and teach you it next week. So here's what I want to do real quick. Set your Bibles aside. We're going to pray. If you're worried about going to get lunch, don't worry. There's ice cream sandwiches. The goodness of God is here. You'll be able to taste and see it. And I just declare, if you're lactose intolerant, you will be healed by eating it. You think I'm joking? I have to say yes. Wrong agreement. Beliefs that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And so what I want to do is I just want to give an opportunity for you to respond to the calling that God's got on your heart right now. And here's what I'm looking at. If you realize in the process of this that you've made agreements with some things, maybe they're very subtle, or maybe you were keenly aware of, maybe it might have been an agreement or a vow you took in a society, even in sororities and things like that. Like you make these agreements, you take on these vows that aren't necessarily kingdom. And what you don't realize is that those seeds can be planted. Albert, it was amazing. I don't want to give away a teaching, but he made this comment yesterday. It was like, it says the enemy will sow seeds now that he doesn't intend to germinate until later on at a more opportune time. And then all of a sudden, he was talking about sex and money. Later on, you get into your marriage, and all of a sudden, the seeds that were planted years ago all of a sudden begin to germinate, and you begin to have issues in your life. So you can make vows from years ago, and you're going, man, why is it? I just can't get over this hump, whatever it is. Well, ask the Lord, have I ever made an agreement with anything less than your kingdom? And if so, reveal it to me. It's not for condemnation, it's for freedom. Like he's going to set you free in this moment. And it's very simple. How did you come to know Jesus Christ? By faith. By the confession of your mouth. How are you going to break this agreement? By faith. Make an agreement with his truth and the confession of his mouth saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent from ever making that agreement. But I break that agreement. And I choose today to agree with you on every single matter from this point on. And here's what's going to happen. In that moment, the power of that thing is going to break over your life. I don't like getting super spiritual, but I'm telling you right now, like when I did that, it was like Thanos. Is anybody else an Avengers? If you still haven't seen Infinity Wars, I'm sorry. That's a great illustration. So I'll give it to you real quick. In Infinity Wars, at the very end of the movie, Thanos has this gauntlet of power. And he has the ability to snap his fingers and cause existence to cease. And all of a sudden he does it. And you start seeing the characters like, oh my God, I'm melting away. You know, it's kind of weird. Here's the thing. God snaps his hands. Those chains melt away. You see, he can use Avengers. This is all kingdom. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let's not make it so complicated, so super spiritual. Let's get back down to the basics in this moment. So bow your heads, close your eyes. Get in this place where you can receive from him. And just ask this question, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Are there any agreements that I've made that are not your kingdom? Now listen. So stay right where you're at. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you run to the front. I want you to see how simple this is so you can do this in your bedroom. You can do this in your car. You can do this in your office. You can do this in the classroom. Jesus, I repent for ever making an agreement with something outside your kingdom. By faith in you, Jesus, I break that agreement right now. I break the agreement. Any authority, any influence, any consequence, any fruit that is produced in my life, I break it off in the name of Jesus. Just like Thanos, boom, it's gone. But then you need to take the next step and agree with him. But Jesus, there is a good agreement I can make. And in this moment, I choose to agree with you on every single thing. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth, to empower me to live the way that you've called me to live. From this moment on, I agree with you that all things are possible for him who believes. I agree with you now that your plans for me are to prosper me and not to harm me, that you've got a future and a hope for me. I agree with that. I agree right now that there's nothing that can separate me from your love. I agree with that. That's good. I disagree right now that I am no longer a sinner that was saved by grace, but I'm now a saint. I've been transformed into a brand new creation. I agree that the old me has passed away. The brand new me is here. I agree that daily I'm being made brand new in your image. I agree daily that the Bible is your word directly to me. And it's not just about information. It's to know you, the knowledge of who you are, intimacy. I agree that it's powerful to bring healing to my life. God, I agree that your spirit is active today. I agree that I'm your son or I'm your daughter. I agree that I have an inheritance. I agree that your goodness is everlasting and your faithfulness is for me. And your promises, every single promise you've given me, you will fulfill it because your word never returns to you void. It always accomplishes exactly what you sent it out to accomplish. Lord, I'm choosing to have the same attitude that you did on the earth. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to love. I'm going to demonstrate what covenant looks like. And I believe this is a turning point in my life where my past will no longer influence me or weigh me down, but only my destiny in you will carry me upwards. That's what I agree with, because your kingdom is coming and your will is being done right now in me as it is in heaven. So it can be done through me now. And we just ask this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, dude. Thank you, brother. If you need prayer for anything whatsoever, I understand in a moment like that, there may need to be some unpacking that you have to go through, and that's good. We want you to do it. Our altar ministry team will be here. Have somebody pray for you. If you have any illness or sickness in your life, we want to pray for you as well. I want to encourage you, stay engaged with what God is doing here in this church and in the city, in this region. We believe there's mighty things are happening. But as we come into the fall, we're just going to see some things just begin to accelerate. So be ready for it. We'll have the ice cream sandwiches here in the cafe. And I love you guys very, very much. Y'all have a tremendous day. Offering boxes on the out. If you were a brand new visitor, make sure you drop in your blue card, your connection card. We want to connect with you. You guys have a great day.